turn from your heart. At your speakings, for that which you have spoken, you also enable to come into. Thank you for elevations, thank you for expansions, thank you for clothings. We ask, O Lord, that none amidst us will fall outside the boundaries of your beautification in this season. Preserve in your will, in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. I want to celebrate all my elder ones that are in the house. The Lord bless you. Thank you so much. The Lord bless you. Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. When the prophet spoke, I was excited because I was speaking to Prophet Ayo when we're coming, that I wish that we'd be in the meeting so that I get to listen to prophet speak. There's a word that Papa has used this year to, or late last year, to define what God is doing, and I see it as one of the pillars of what God is communicating to us within the next 2 years. I've only been able to sit in 2 years. And surprisingly, the Lord does not call them years of revival. He calls them the years of wars. That which we currently are seeing happen on the landscape across the nations is going to find a look-alike fulfillment in the body of Christ. It's going to be years of great stirrings. And this is because of what God seeks to urgently achieve. In the communications of the Lord to me, I received that there is a recovery of the witness of God that is very, very strong on the heart of God. God is no longer at ease because of the seasons of misrepresentation, and he wants to recover a name for himself. And he will do it not in a season of peace, but amidst battles. And so the noise in the church is going to be in the similitude of the sounds at a quarry site where stones are being forcefully chiseled into shape. So we must be willing to endure for as long as possible. I'm going to come to Gilgal shortly. Verse 10 is my verse. Also for the church, like the year began, the Lord said to us that he was going to seemingly hold back on judgment. And I know there are many things that are currently happening that can be codenamed judgment. My anchor in trying to return to the Lord, because every time I rejoiced at his judgment, he said, not me. And I was wondering why the things that seemingly looked like judgment were not representative of the movements of God. So he comforted my heart, saying that the symbol for the divine judgment is the recovery of the consciousness of righteous living in the midst of the people. And so that the sign to know when he begins to judge is that the children of men begin to learn righteousness. What would happen is that there will be events that will give stronger utterance to erring voices. Ministries that have labored in error will be louder first three quarters of the year, and they are going to speak with unprecedented boldness. It means that whatever may have happened or what is currently happening, even what happened today, we only make bold those who have chosen the path of iniquity. But the end of the year, the last quarter, according to the word of the Lord, will herald that season of judgment, and it will last into the end of next year. 2025 is a landmark year for the body of Christ in Nigeria, according to the word of the Lord, and the new breed would begin to shine from that year. Now, because of the loudness of the utterances of those who have chosen the path of iniquity, there are many on the path of rightness who will change camp. And that's why the season is going to be elongated. It's going to begin to look as though if you operate a system that is contrary to God, you have space. And so those who have become slaves of goodwill and slaves of the crowd will change sides. So the judgment will be hindered because the numberings of those that will be judged of the Lord have not been accomplished. I was bittered when the Lord spoke to me, and then he brought back to me the parable of the tares and the wheat. And he said to me that you will need to ask for the patience to watch them grow together until the harvest. When the harvest comes, it will become very clear that God came to judge, because the alignments will be rapid. Amen. Okay. I have a word of the Lord for campuses, because my heart has bled. I was speaking to my father maybe two years ago, and I said, I feel that the strength of movements across campuses wore out too soon, such that the generation that was baptized into the core of what God had in store for the next few years have graduated, and there is a new crop that really does not understand what God is doing, but who have come into leadership by necessity. They are like crisis leaders, no training, but they have to labor. And so I see, according to the word of the Lord, a restoration of very strong discipling movements. What we have seen could be called invasions. Very strong movements in power, but we'll see teachers who will not just do a work as a flash in the pan, but those who will be willing to waste their lives, camp around campuses, and labor to see a new generation rise. Like God's servant spoke a few minutes ago, the Eleazars, the Joshuas, but they will be byproducts of very, very sound discipline. And so God is raising a lot more people who are going to be willing to disciple, not in a few programs, but who will give up a few years to labor, because the focus of the Lord in an attempt to secure the future is back on our campuses, and he will get his harvest. The gates of error have been largely opened over the campuses, and we're going to see that go stronger. And so God needs to secure more vessels of truth to send in that direction. I trust the Lord that in this season he will find you faithful. Okay. I'll return to those things about the church, because there are seven things he said to me about the church that I need to say. But let me read from Joshua chapter 5. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover of the 14th day of the month at the even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the same self day. Verse 12. Very significant. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Amen. Migrations. That's a word that has defined the dealings of the Lord for us very strongly in the last 10 years, but I sense that we have stepped into a transition. The narrative in the body of Christ has been of a people on a journey, the Exodus, but there is a change in the emphasis of God, and the current emphasis is of an entrance. Is somebody with me? And so you will find out, if you had peeped into the first 10 verses, that there was a summons upon God's servant Joshua to bring the people back onto the tables of circumcision, because the generations of those who left Egypt circumcised had passed, and a regime of leadership had been sustained that did not think that circumcision was necessary. In my studies, I perceived that Moses, a part of Moses, was anti-circumcision. And it's a shape of ministry. One that sustains the acts of God, one that expresses the power of God, one that demonstrates the potency of power across dimensions, in the ability to walk the weather, in the ability to bring healing, in the ability to bring supplies, so that when you look at the Moses company, you can no longer say that God is not with us because of the demonstrations of power. One of the things that the Moses company did not advertise was the holiness of God. God was not introduced to the children of Israel with all of the terms that define his holiness. And so God was willing to endure with that regime as long as they were on a journey. But into the promised land, there was a statement that he was going to make. The eviction of the people in the promised land was not just because God made a promise. The weight was so that the iniquity of those in that land will be filled up, and then the land will vomit them. And so the jealousy of God became stirred as they approached onto Gilgal to ensure that the quality of people who make an entrance into the land did not replicate the iniquity of the people of the land. If that happens, then God will be an unrighteous judge to evict people who sinned and replace them with those who also sin. And so God had to summon Joshua to circumcise the children of Israel. The command was to make fresh knives. And like I said last year, we're still in that season of circumcision. The knives are becoming dull, and so the average minister needs to trust the Lord to get new knives so that we can cut as deep as the Lord will have us to. In the day that that cutting resumes, the shape of our services will change. And like I said last year, it will be a day of mourning, because it's impossible to cut and not bleed. It will also be a day of quietness. The house looks too loud in this season. A lot of people will go into hiding to nurse their wounds, because it will cut and it will cut deep. When this process is over, we will approach onto a spiritual location that was depicted by the word Gilgal. And according to scriptures, if you have been studying, it was at Gilgal that God rolled away the reproach of Egypt. Very significant. Two things define the reproach, because my first burden was, how do you announce that with all the exploits that was expressible in the midst of the children of Israel to advertise the strength of their God, they had a reproach? Do you call the crossing of the Red Sea reproach? That was dominion over the natural. Do you call the healing from the effect of the serpents? That was another dimension of power. And then the supernatural nature of their provision did not really advertise that there was a reproach, until you moved close to the company of the children of Israel and you found out that even though they were brought out of Egypt, Egypt was not brought out of them. There was a stamp that produced murmuring, that produced uncleanliness, that advertised compromise as they advanced even onto the promised land, which was an advertisement of the strength of Egypt that was within, even though it was not without. Is somebody with me? So that you can no longer say that the church in our nation and in many parts of the world do not advertise the strength of God. You can no longer say that God is not with us. You can no longer say that we have broken through all kinds of threshold in possessions, both in lands and in real estate, but God is saying that there is still something of Egypt that is still being expressed in the church. And in Gilgal, he will make a separation. That's the first thing. On the second side, God began to emphasize to me that in rolling away the reproach of Israel, God was going to handpick, and the visions that I had was of a maiden trying to separate beans in a bowl. How that if you lumped it all together, at the end you will bite into all kinds of strange things called beans. And I saw as the lady began to pull out those things separately, there are individuals who have decided not to yield to the many corrections and the chastenings of the Lord that God will handpick out of those who will come into the promised land. So there will be many utterances to advertise entrance, but many who advertise to not be allowed to go in. It will begin from the clergy, and by that I mean the ecclesiastical circle, and then gradually it's going to begin to move into congregations as the Lord comes himself to sit as a refiner's fire. He will purify like the purifier of silver, that the sons of Levi, those that remain, may begin to offer unto the Lord sacrifices in righteousness. I perceive that the first three quarters of this year, now this is my perception, not a direct word from the Lord, I perceive that the first three quarters of the year will still advertise the opened gates of mercy. As God allows for men who have chosen to walk the paths of iniquity to continue doing what they are doing, God will be using that time to also seek recovery amongst these people. And so there is the need to take out time and expose ourselves under the searchlight of the Holy Spirit, asking him to search on our behalf. I know the last time you searched, you came back with a feedback that all is well. If you search deeper, you will find out that the greatest hindrance to the movements of God is not coming from where you think. It might just be you. There may be an unconquered aspect of your life, something you have learned to carry and still fly. 9 months of purging, 9 months of waiting to allow the tares grow into maturity, so that the legitimacy of the judgments of God that will begin from the end of the year will be achieved. Let's go forward and look at Gilgal. So, as a reminder, the first removal is the heart of Egypt. God will be purging us of the heart of Egypt, and that will be coming in many communications that bring us back to consecration, that bring us back to sanctified existence, and like a word I commonly use, crucified existence, where the import of the cross actually finds expression within the congregations of the people of God. Let's go from the 11th verse. Because when that day comes, certain activities, according to scriptures, will begin to find advertisement amidst the people of God. The Bible said that they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover. In my study, I found out that in the Exodus, there were two Passover feasts that happened under the watch of Moses. But the shift is also going to begin with a Passover. And the expression of the Passover is with the eating of unleavened cakes. That is significant, because when you begin to peep into the import of food in scriptures, you find out that food is not essentially for pleasure. Food is designed for strength. And so when you look into what kind of meal is advertised, it gives you a picture of the quality of strength that God wants delivered. Now, the Passover comes with the eating of unleavened cakes. And if you are used to some basic chemistry, you understand that the size of bread that you buy is not actually the size of bread that was mixed. Yeast was added, and according to my chemistry teacher, I believe she was right. When yeast begins to go through the fermentation process, it releases a gas. I think it should be carbon monoxide, am I right? And then as the gas is released, what happens to the dough is that it begins to swell. So that there are cavities within the dough. But when you look at it on the outside, it looks as though all is well. It means that God will be exposing internal works of death, so that when the whole bread is picked, and you know, when we speak of bread, it is first a diet, it is also what to demand, it is also what God wants to serve to his people. There is a kind of bread that God wants to give to the nations, but he must first censor what his people eat. What they eat is who they become. And so God is going to be separating from our midst that expression that we call hypocrisy. He's going to be judging a lot of secret sins. Many of them not openly, but in the secret. So that a lot of people can arrive the same size that they are, not under the influence of the swell that comes from leaven. Is somebody with me? I don't have the time, but if you go through scriptures, you will find out that there was this burden in the heart of God against the operation of leaven. It was also used in the New Testament to depict a life that looked clean but was filled inside, a life that looked like God on the outside but had the depravity of man in the inward parts. When God is done with this job, what we find in the church will not just be a company of strong men, but also a company of weak men who are prepared to be made strong. The Bible says he giveth power to the weak, not to a weak man. When you introduce the article "the," it shows that that man has assumed an identity to be that thing. And so by this process, many who were advertised to be strong will have achieved a posture in which God can give power. I believe that just ahead of the body of Christ is a whole new definition of what we call power. We have not seen what it is. What we have carried largely has mesmerized us within our walls. But I see nations come to their knees just because there is a new fragrance of this spiritual substance called power that will begin to come out of the church. It will come out of much prayer, it will come out of much fasting, but it will also be that the prayers and the fasting worked a separation from falsehood. God will begin, as we begin to feed in Gilgal, begin to ensure that there is the alignment between what is said and who we are. There will no longer be discrepancies. A man will no longer be a preacher of holiness, and in the secrecy of his house, he will be a worker of iniquity. We will see those things come. I know somebody is asking a question, but would we ever get out of this logjam of hypocritical expressions? The Bible reveals to us the commitment of the Lord. It is that he will purge his church. We have come into that season of purgings, and it's because his coming is close. I know nobody talks about his second coming again, but the promise will be kept. And so as we move closer to his coming, there is a new kind of church that will be produced. A church whose garments are white. Like God's servant said, a church whose head is not lacking in the purity of oil. There's a lot of contaminated oil around, but there will be a separation. There will be a recovery of the manuals of our existence as the church. There are too many questions currently that are being asked. And it's because the ways of Babylon have even mingled themselves with our protocols in church. Not essentially with what we preach in many places, but in the way we do things. And all those things that look like Egypt will be purged one after the other, according to the word of the Lord. It will be unleavened cakes and parched corn in that same self day. Verse 12, for time's sake. If you look at the 12th verse, you see another significant thing that happened. There was something that the children of Israel fed on. It was manna. And I came to announce that there is a closure of the seasons of a kind of favor that the church has walked in. The resources in the church right now are built on favors. Is somebody with me? Favor so much so that if you were in the midst of the children of Israel, whether you were aligned or not, whether you grumbled or you did not grumble, whether you were pure or not, There was a cloud under which you worked that secured manna for you. It's been very robust. The church has thrived on the strength of that day of favor. But the Lord sent me to announce that that gate will begin to close. It's to announce that a scarcity of resources will begin to attend to the body of Christ. And now the distribution of that which is available will only be in places that God has stamped. So we have entered into a famine season. This day broke at the beginning of the year. So we'll see ministries that used to thrive that now obviously begin to cut corners because the gates of favor that were open to them have closed. The Bible says the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan. Prosperity in churches will now be premised upon entrance into Canaan. Everyone who stays on this other side of the Jordan, who could not secure an entrance because of the absence of consecration, because of the absence of alignment with that which God is saying, will begin to suffer scarcity. And I see a lot of ministries begin to shut down because of the scarcity that we are in. The wealth in congregations will be one of the signs that God will begin to give as approval. And where he has approved, we will see an unprecedented influx of wealth from the nations as a sign of approval. Amen. I have a word for Africa. The Lord began to speak to me that these years of wars will be the beginning of many strange things in many continents. There's famine coming to the world, and Africa will be the last stronghold. When the wars become fully blown, it will be here. When the church collapses across the globe, Africa will be that hub where preservation will come. Now, when I heard that in my spirit, I had to query the Lord as to show me in scriptures. And I found out that in the days of the patriarchs, Jacob and his sons, when scarcity came upon the earth, it was a migration to Africa. The Lord said it to me this way. He said, even the Christ had to come to be preserved. And so there is a mantle of preservation that currently rests on the continent of Africa. Now, it's something to be excited about, but it's a big burden. It means we must understand the shape of the years that are ahead of us. The preservation that was occasioned in the land of Egypt in the days of the patriarchs was because certain men with the Joseph anointing rose. They understood the seasons and how that surplus was designed to be preserved. Is somebody with me? I know many of us may understand it, the economics of it, but I also brought word that the church will still be preserved in Africa. I know that there is some kind of migration as we have missionaries who go into the nations of the world, but in my dreams, I saw a homecoming. Okay, why are you saying amen to that? I thought you were also thinking about traveling. I saw a homecoming, everybody coming back home, and then people who are not dark-skinned also running into Africa to be preserved. Now, if all we have in that day are big buildings, then we'll have wasted a season. The restoration of accurate discipline in our ministries is very urgent in the heart of God. Because if only those who are in the ecclesiastical circle form those who know what to do with the word of God, those who know what to do with the workings of the Holy Spirit, then it will be a day of burdens. There must be a spread. And while we're on the plane this morning, the Lord was talking to me about impartations. How that graces of the Spirit could be entered into by impartations, but not just by impartations, but by doctrine. That he was going to be raising men who will teach the ways of the Spirit in a language that people can understand, so that what people may not have by impartation, what they may not have by direct giftings from God, the knowledge of the principles with which these things work can be taught. And as people reach out in faith, there will be entrances. Is somebody with me? So that maybe you're not gifted with the gifts of healing, but when you meet someone who administers that gift, in this season, the Lord equips that kind of person with an educational system that can teach people accurately. I've been saying many times that we are not like medicine men or like witches who fly and don't understand how to fly. I've dealt with a few in my lifetime, and when I ask questions, maybe after deliverance, trying to get some education, I find out that the craft is the strength of a witch. If you separate the witch from the craft, the witch may not by education be able to replicate what she's doing. You see, but the church is beginning to look like that. Now, when you meet a man who walks in a dimension, he doesn't know how to teach it. And so there's a gap. And so there are a lot of assumptions. And then you see people who know scriptures and need to look for their diabolic powers so that they can look powerful. But there is a wisdom that God is giving in this season. And it's not just so that our shoulders can be raised above ourselves, or that we can advertise ranking, is because a famine is about to come in the nations. And God is going to be opening the gates of Africa and bringing the kings, like God's servant said, and they are meant to come and find preservation in Africa. This is our time. Let me look into my books and bring a few more instructions for the church. The Lord said to me concerning our nation, when you said that word that our cry has reached to his ears, it excited me. But I want to add something to what you said. The Lord said to me that the suffering in our nation is not unknown to him, and that he has risen to mitigate the effect. And he told me to announce to the church that you have the authority to mitigate it. But we must pray. It's not a day to labor in self-preservation. Elisha should understand that no matter how bad the famine is, he will have what to eat in his house. But if Elisha stays too long in his house, the king will send for his head. Second Kings chapter 6 and then chapter 7. Elisha must know when to exit the plains of self-preservation and begin to speak with the voice of the prophet. Timelines are supposed to be released to see succor come to the people. Well, I don't know what Makurdi looks like. Where I stand, the suffering is much. It's as though the middle class has suddenly become the upper class, and then the poor have become extremely poor. And God is saying, we can. I know that in many quarters it's a cry for mercy, but God is inviting us to come into our prophetic expressions and speak over the territories in which he has placed us, to speak to the wind to stop, to speak to the storms that have impoverished territories to abate. I had a meeting, because what's happening in our city is very significant. I know that governors enthrone kings, but in our own city, it was a father in the nation, a minister of the gospel, that enthroned our king. In 2017, I think was the year after I met Papa, you said to me the first time I came to your house in Makurdi, you said you did not invite me. I said, no, sir. And the reason was because the Lord didn't tell me to. He just told me to come to meet you. You now said, this was the way you did your hand. You said, I will come, but go and pray. So in May 2017, the Lord spoke to me and said, you will hold Ogbomoso praise, and it will be a 200-hour stretch prayer meeting. If you pray, I will bring revival and I will change the economics of your city. Now, I can pray 200-hour stretch in my strength. I know that the possibilities of the Spirit are unknown, but I have to tell the Lord, They are just university students, and many of them can't stay that long. So the Lord told me, I'm giving you the power to determine when that day will come. Do 10 minutes every day and just calculate the number of minutes you have in 200 hours. And at the end, I will visit your city. Do 1 hour every day. That'll be 200 days. So I agreed with him. Can we do 5 hours every day for 40 days? And the Lord said, yes, you can. And so I began to pray. I had to call Papa on the 19th day because I had full right side paralysis on one of those nights. And what he said to me was, I thought he was going to say, stop. You know, but what he said was, now you are interfacing with the beasts of your city. So woke up the following morning and then continued the prayer. And then the Lord began to send other emissaries in the city, and we gathered together, finished the prayers. And there were about 80 things that the Lord said during the space of the prayers. I came to testify that we are over 70 gone. Over 70. One of the dominant things that he said was about the economics of our city, because the economics of our city has shifted so much with the new king coming in. He said, in the day that I will come, I will raise a prince from amongst my people. We knew that the pastor was going to be our king. There will be contentions, but he will sit on the throne. And then as a sign that that day has come, I will take away the political face of your city and the king of your city. So we knew that our king was not going to see that new day. And if you know who the political face of our city was, our next governor, they died in the space of a few months. And then the war to enthrone the current one began. But I had the privilege a few days ago to speak to the person in charge of the developmental plan, because in that meeting, the Lord gave details to a 25-year plan to recover our city. And when he spoke to me 2 days ago, what he said to me was that they now have a 25-year plan. They have not seen our own. But when they spoke of their own, it mirrored exactly our own. I saw from his speakings that the economics of our city is not really built on the natural. There was an ancient trade to defend the city in the 1800s during the Fulani Wars. Spirits were recruited to defend the city in exchange for the economics of that city. Now, I'm saying this to encourage you that we are stronger than we think. When we began to pray, and this guidance of our city began to show up, I didn't share a testimony of something that happened in the day of my first ordination with Chisa. I was locked in an hotel at not too far from the old tent, and I had to bring my box to church because of what happened in my room. I saw myself after the ordination running back to our city, and a python, our city has four pythons, they are the guardians of our city, running in the bush beside me. There were cries, return, return, to help the people. The python outran me and then opened his mouth, more like to swallow me. When I jumped out of my sleep out of fear, I was standing on the ground. What scared me was that a very large chunk of paint on the wall, about this width, peeled off on a straight line. It was as though something literally moved inside the wall. So I just gathered my things and came to church and and from the service, I escaped. So in case you are the hotelier, this is what happened in your hotel. Somebody needed to escape. But we have seen God progressively fulfill his counsel for a city. I'm not standing here saying that I did this alone. God raised all kinds of people who believed in the project of that city to turn it around. And I'm seeing that one of the ways in which God will rewrite the destinies of our cities is not by giving us men in the political sector who are accurate men, is by raising the church. We have raised the church for the church for too long. The time has come to begin to raise the church for the society. That amidst us, non-pastors, but who are accurate Christians in the academia, in the financial services, in the health sector, will begin to rise because the love that produced the cross was not just for men, it was for the world. God is about systems. And this is that year when we must begin to wage war across systems to see these kingdoms also come under the government of the Christ. Is somebody with me? That's how God will recover his weakness. God said to me, and we started praying for the nation again, that what is pioneering in our city is a national thing. I was shown the altar with its horns, but there were no hands on it. And the Lord said to me, the pain in the nation has produced men who are all about themselves. The time has come to jettison that which concerns us, and then we return to the altar to begin to labor, because God will hear the cry in Nigeria. The significance of our nation as to the roundup plan of God across the globe is unchanging. Our choices cannot change it. It's something that God has cast in stone. The only thing that our choices will do is to postpone the seasons of fulfillment. And God told me to tell you, you have the authority to change the state of things in the nation. Let me say one last thing, and then I will take my seat. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Okay, I brought that emphasis already. When we had the privilege to stand with Papa in Ghana, I shared from a portion of scripture that I feel the Lord wants me to bring stronger perspective to. Because of time, it was the narrative of the sons of the prophet and the prophet. A day came when a thought was sponsored in the hearts of the sons of the prophets, and it was that the region of their habitation had become too straight. So they walked on to their father, the prophet Elisha, and pleaded with him that he allowed them to go beyond the boundaries of their current habitation towards the Jordan, each man to cut a beam so that they can build a larger place. The emphasis of the Lord is that there is a drawing into a humbling place. The things we have known have swelled us. The things we have been able to do have swelled us. And God is saying that in the state that you are currently in, you can no longer fully express the totality of that which the world is supposed to see of the Christ. There are things that are of God that can no longer be received as per possibilities, as per expressions, because we have become masters of what we know. And the average believer around is afraid to come into seemingly uncharted waters. Now, I do not speak about going to drink of the waters of error. I am saying that what is currently being expressed on the landscape, even in the camp of the accurate, is not fully representative of who the Christ is. And it's because we have decided to dwell around a few things. So much so that there are certain things that God, by His Spirit, is bringing emphasis to that we can no longer receive. We have become so secure in the things that we know that there are certain things that are not of the enemy that are being codenamed to be of the enemy because they do not feature on our list of known things. And in the hearts of a few, I'm trying to encourage you. Remember, my emphasis is not the waters of error. There is a migrating emphasis that the Lord is beginning to bring into the heart of a few. And I know that there are a few of these ones under the sound of my voice and in many other places who are afraid to even give voice to these movements of the Spirit that say to them, there is more to come into. Beyond what we express as a community, They are unique expressions of the Christ that are not demonic. They are possibilities of the Christ that are not demonic, that are fully backed up in scriptures that have not been explored. And so God is beginning to work in the hearts of people. But we see the protocol. And the protocol is that when God begins to build those things, the sons of the prophet must understand that the migration is not forced to Jordan, it is forced to the prophet. The principles of submission, the principles of loyalty must not be broken in the day that God begins to sponsor these cravings that we need to enlarge. The migration is not first to Jordan, it is first to the prophet. Now, one of the things that God is doing to ensure that enlargement comes is that he's also working on Elisha's heart. And Elisha represents a company of fathers who understand the burden of enlargement into the Christ, but are not willing to bring it forth in utterance because they do not know how it will fall with the people. Are you with me? Now, one of the things that God will do to encourage the sons of the prophet is that when they vocalize it, they will receive the backing of Elisha. And the Bible said that they said to Elisha, "Let it please you, if you have allowed us to go, go with us." So I see two generations going to Jordan, the generation of the fathers and the generation of the sons. What you find out is that the fathers will not be cutting beams, the sons will. Because many of these things that can no longer be entered into in Christ has been entered into by the fathers, but have not become expressible. The aim is that every man goes and finds in Christ a unique reality that he has not entered into. Because the completeness of the house will not be built on just what we do congregationally, but what you find as a lively stone and add to the house that Jesus is building. I know that a beam was assigned to you, and I'm speaking to you, but there is another beam that is expressible in other people that you want to enter into. Are you with me? So you have gone in pursuit of somebody else's beam. There's a fragrance somebody's giving off, and your cry in prayers is, "Lord, I want to come into that." God is saying in this season, you must come into you in Christ. There is an allocation that makes us incomplete without your fragrance. Each man will go to Jordan and get his own beam, and then a larger house will be built. There is a desire for more room in Christ. I know you are afraid that the gates of error might be open, but God is washing feet. And the washing of feet is that he's purifying your feet from strain. There's an old song. It says, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it." You know the song? "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy cuts above." So your feet are not just being washed, they are being sealed to ensure that in these seasons of migration, when the word of the Lord will begin to come alive to bring out that unique fragrance, your feet will not stray. It's cast in stone in his word that they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So in these seasons, we will come into the strengthened experiences of the leadings of God. It's not a day to be afraid. It's a day to journey in faith, to understand that the one who commands to Jordan will follow to Jordan, and that there will be a returning with your beam. What is building is a larger house, because the harvest of the nations are about to come. An unprecedented entrance into the body of Christ. That's what God is forging. It's a great year. It's a great year. May he find you faithful. You want to ask him in a few minutes that he will wash your feet. I think that's the emphasis that I want to close with. That which makes prone to straying will be separated from you. The Lord emphasized to me that this project to go to Jordan in the year 2016 or the years 2016-2017 were attempted, but what they opened into the body of Christ were gates of Herod. The sounds of those years are currently being heard again in the body of Christ with so much boldness. It's as though the camp of the heretics have multiplied, but God is saying he's bringing preservation by washing your feet. There is a place unto which the Spirit leads. It's where our trust is without borders. Where we begin to walk upon the waters. Wherever he will call us. There will be invitations, all kinds of invitations. And in that day, do not be afraid. He will take you deeper than your feet can ever wander. And your faith will be made stronger in the presence of your Savior. Can you ask him to wash your feet? To wash your feet. Save my feet from straying. Purge it from error. Seneto baia sekebate hado. Biembo so cameo semetovianto cabatoa. I bope lanzu sete copresto mi bino viatoma. By copin someda. Milon biato be copia sete babobia cala. Amekombe sifale mokapianto memoria batetambe skabo beambi kome simete viabai. That our feet will not stray. You can wash, oh God. Purify unto stability. Purify unto existence within the boundaries of the Christ. Cause our feet to explore your dimensions and to come with things that we never knew were of you. That the gates into deeper dimensions of revelation will be open. Yes. That we will begin to operate with the consciousness that indeed we have known, but there is more to know. You will beautify us with your secrets. You expose us to hidden things that make for our stability. Oh, Lord, in that day that we begin to journey, you will deliver our feet from compromise. There will be none in our company who is a betrayer. The weak will find strength. The troubled will find peace. So we journey. We journey. It's called the year of spreading to explore uncharted places in Christ. Oh, we give you praise and glory. Spirit lead me where my trust is speed that borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you will call me. Take me deeper than my feet will ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger. In the prayer, one more time. Spirit.